So, Gats here, if you're like me, you love a good stat, but there's one stat you probably don't know, your vehicle's battery charge. That's why Advance Auto Parts has free vehicle battery testing and installation with no appointment needed. Battery start at just $79.99. They also have curbside pickup on any order. Enter the code DAN20 when you buy online to save 20% on your order. Advance your auto at Advance Auto Parts and participating CarQuest locations. See stores for details.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
I was reading something on long reads, which is not something that Stugatz would ever visit. The lost art of the long magazine profile where they go very deep into a single subject. And it begins with, he's a man, but not a man. A mascot, but a cipher. A friend and a shill. He's Ronald McDonald, one of the most recognizable faces in the world, and he's out of work in a brand landscape that doesn't have room for clowns. Now, I want to get into this a little more, but please, first, Guillermo, at Le Batard Show, this is a more difficult question than you think. Is Ronald McDonald a man? Because I don't think of him as a man. I think of him as something that's not human, even though I know he, the character, whoever's underneath there, is human.
You know that's paint on his face.
Yes, right? I'm well aware of that.
And you know that Ronald traditionally is a man's name.
Yes, I just don't think of him as a man. I think of him as an entity
it's
that
is really a gender neutral name.
I know it's not gender neutral. I'm not asking is he male. I'm asking sort of do you think of him as a human? Because I do not think of Ronald McDonald as a human. I think of him as a cartoon. Regardless, before we get into the meat of this discussion, I want to tell you how Stugatz came in here today.
Oh, boy.
Which is saying, did I ever tell you about the time that I peed in the Bristol shower?
Oh, really? I thought I was sharing a little story amongst friends there. I mean, that's all. But I did.
So what's the backstory there? Can you tell the people Adam Schefter led you to a shower that you peed in?
You know what? I didn't remember it until Mike Golic Jr. jogged my memory. You would think I would remember peeing in a shower on the Bristol campus, but I peed in millions of showers. And when you've peed in as many showers as I peed in, sometimes you occasionally forget. And so if you remember years ago, I did the 36-hour fantasy football marathon with Gojo, and we were locked in a room together for 36 hours. And one time I left the room for like a couple of minutes, and Norby Williamson, one of the executives at ESPN, told me to get back in that room. You get back in that room, you're locked in that room for 36 hours.
Sports!
Which I totally understood. That was my job to be in that room, but I had to go to the bathroom. And at one point I wanted to shower. And so everyone was like walking around there, and Adam Schefter out of nowhere pulled me and Gojo aside while he was checking his cell phone. And he said, listen, found a shower. And he walked us down through these hallways to these dungeons to the basement of ESPN. And there was a shower, and Schefter said, there it is, I just used it. And so Gojo said, I am going to use it. And I said, me too. And so Gojo used the shower, I used the shower.
At different times,
correct. Thank you for clarifying.
Well, I just thought there was the real possibility of the two of you, after spending 36 hours together, because he's a locker room head, that you would just say, hey, let's go and take a shower in these cramped confines, this secret shower in Bristol.
I'd like to remind the audience that this is Gojo reminding me that I had done this. This is not me telling Gojo I did it.
Well, normally he would only know that from being right now. Next to you, yeah. If you didn't tell him.
A crossing of streams situation.
Well, this is yesterday, him jogging my memory. And so I peed in that shower, and when Gojo and I were talking about a totally separate issue yesterday, and by the way, he said, my strategy with Bomani Jones in that debate was give myself a chance to win it in the fourth quarter. That was his strategy going in, and I think he did. I think Gojo did a pretty good job. But he said, hey, do you remember when you peed in the Bristol shower? And I said, I did not. And he said, I said, how do you know? And he said, because you came in, you told me, you bragged about it. And I said, oh, okay.
Marking your territory a little bit. Well, Stugatz and I were laughing earlier this week. Mike, you tell me, in terms of the changes within Stugatz, one of these stories I'm going to tell predates Chris Cody and may predate Billy. I'm not totally sure. But how far removed are we now, Mike, as people arrive in Bristol and realize that ESPN is a little different than you thought it was? Like Pat McAfee realized very early that ESPN was trying to kill him. Jeff Passan just realized this week that ESPN is trying to kill him. Stugatz would have done anything once upon a time to be on television for 36 straight hours at ESPN.
Oh, yeah.
But the thing that we were laughing about from Stugatz's past was the time that his wife told all of her friends, hey, my husband's going to be on television.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be on the Heat broadcast. You guys have to watch. And then the Heat broadcast started, and there was Stugatz wearing a headband and wristbands and throwing chalk up in the air like LeBron James on television. And Stugatz's wife was mortified that she had told her friends anything about her husband being on television. And I want to know when that changed, Mike, because now it's hard to get Stugatz on a plane to go to the weigh-in with Masvidal. Like, it's hard. What changed here?
I think it was 36 hours at Bristol doing that fantasy marathon.
Perhaps. It took a Dead concert being right next door to get me to Masvidal, by the way. That's what it took.
But that made for an amazing people-watching party. To have MMA fans and Grateful Dead fans in the same building.
Amazing mix, yes.
So you think that the 36 hours of fantasy coverage is when the scales fell from Stugatz's eyes and he looked around and he's like, oh, wait a minute. They will just send me in the room to sit there and televise me and not let me go to the bathroom because they've got a lot of programming they got to make for 400 channels, and it doesn't matter if much of it is any good or not. They just need to put something on television.
I was asked to do it again the next year. I said no.
No, you've declined it every year since. You had like pool toys, and wait a minute. As I recall, you were horribly sad. Very early on, you were horribly sad and regretting your decision to sign up for 36 hours sitting next to Gojo, where they went to live updates with you guys all the time, right? They were doing so every hour or so, just checking in on the fantasy room.
Yeah, they were checking in a couple times per hour. I was part of the main thing, like the mock draft at the end, which was really a thrill. I did enjoy it. I also remember feeling like a clown. I am a clown. I mean, and so I think the acceptance of being a clown really set in right then and there.
It's amazing that they asked you back considering the controversy that you found yourself in.
What do you mean?
I was gonna say, you gotta be down or to end. Why are you in here? I'm tired of my islands. I need a microphone. I want to rank quarterbacks. HR, you can't talk into a woman's chest, Stugatz.
This is how Stugatz is untouchable. Who had the odds on Stugatz speaking into Michelle Beadle's chest, and she's the one who no longer works at ESPN? Anybody have that one in the odds? Stugatz is still here standing after giving quarterback takes into Michelle Beadle's chest.
Oh, man. Underrated part of that is the high five Adam Schefter gave me as I walked
into
the studio.
It is not at all underrated. It's properly rated as one of the greatest things any of us have ever seen. You running onto their set with them not wanting you there, and then you running off, and Adam Schefter, his secret dirty side that not a lot of people see because he knows where all the Bristol secret showers are, his secret dirty side of rebellion, high five Stugatz as he leaves the set, committing on television what was clearly a human resources infraction. Different time in America.
Not really. It's just everyone just chalked it up to he does not know any better. He didn't realize the situation. It was a learning experience for all.
I can't believe that Stugatz is the only one who's able to do hashtag not me too. Not me too. No, I'm going to run away here, and I'm not going to get in any trouble.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. At Progressive, they are making things even easier. They'll help you bundle your home and car insurance together so you can save on both. Learn more at Progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. Today on ESPN Daily, NFL wide receiver Marquise Goodwin and his wife Morgan share their difficult journey in becoming parents and how it became a story of hope. That's ESPN Daily, presented by Marathon. These days, we have to travel smart. Marathon can help by improving engine performance with quality top-tier gasoline. Marathon, fueling the American spirit. Download, subscribe, and review ESPN Daily, available wherever you enjoy your podcast.
So Chris Cody, who has not had a banner 4 months during the pandemic, is unaffected by this. You know, he dances during breaks. He's got an amnesia like a great cornerback.
Shooter's going to shoot, Dan.
Yeah. So right before the microphones go on, right as we're about to talk about whatever's important societal thing I'm about to talk about, he leans into the Zoom chat and just apropos of nothing that I could tell, asks the group, who's the most famous person you've ever driven somewhere? Why were you doing that? What was the point? Where did that conversation start that you ended up asking everybody that?
Well, it started with Tony saying during the break, because last segment we were talking about Adam Schefter and the shower in Bristol, and Tony used to live in Bristol, and Tony was like, I have a crazy story. And long story short, the story was essentially I once drove Adam Schefter somewhere like a mile away from the campus. And he was real excited about that. And it got me thinking, wow, who's the most famous person I've ever driven? And I said, sorry, Tony, I have you beat. I once picked up Bill Simmons from a hotel and brought him to the studio. So I trump your Schefter with a Bill Simmons.
I'm not even sure. Did you trump him, though? Put it on the poll at Le Batard Show. Who is the more famous person to drive somewhere? Adam Schefter or Bill Simmons?
Well, I have another poll question, because I think the most famous person I've ever driven, it has to either be you, Dan Le Batard, or Dan Patrick. I drove him home from your wedding back to the hotel. So it has to be one of those two. I mean, do you fancy yourself to be more famous than Dan Patrick?
I do not.
I think you are. I mean,
came in with a strong nominee. He once drove June Lee.
That is not a strong nominee. I don't know. I don't. that is just typically Billy. That's all.
Famous people don't want to hang out with me. I don't know what to tell you.
All right, but no. But Billy, is that so? You went through your entire history of driving and your entire life, and in trying to get to this conversation, involved in it, you actually ranked June Lee as the most famous person you've ever driven somewhere?
Look, Dan, I'm not a liar. They asked me the question. I said, you know what? I don't think I've ever driven a famous person anywhere. This shouldn't surprise you. I don't go places where there are famous people. I don't go places where people generally hang out. These aren't situations that I often find myself in. And then to add to all of that, this also shouldn't surprise you. My car, a bit messy. So I try to avoid driving people places whenever I can.
In Billy's defense, he was actually socializing with June Lee, whereas Tony and I were just chauffeurs for these people.
Oh, you guys were just quiet? You didn't dare start a conversation? You just kept moving, or you waited for them to start the conversation?
No, I had a great conversation with Bill Simmons. My point is that the only reason he was in the car with me is because I was sent to pick him up. Tony was asked to do a favor and drive somewhere. Billy was genuinely hanging out with June Lee.
Since we're all in the business of putting each other's business out there, apparently, Chris Cody picked up Bill Simmons from, I believe, the Fort Lauderdale airport in the middle of the Big Three era and drove him to the studio to do like an hour on the show. And I believe, if I remember the story correctly, it's like an hour drive or something. It was a long drive that he had him with, right? Bill Simmons turned to Chris at one point and asked him, hey, do people in Miami really hate me? And Chris had to be like, no, Bill, they don't hate you.
That a boy.
That's true. And I remember I actually brought my mom's car to pick him up because I was embarrassed of how dirty my car was. So I was like, I have to pick up Bill Simmons today. Mom, I need your car.
Put on a nice shirt.
It's one of the most pathetic things I've ever heard. It honestly is that you're upgrading automobile. That, first of all, it's one of the least surprising things I've ever heard that you and Billy don't know how to keep a car clean. Like, that's not surprising in any way. But the question I have as a follow-up is, Billy, if I searched your car, what is the weirdest thing I would find? What's the thing that if you had to go out to your car right now and beat me to get to your car, you had to get there first and you went there and you'd be trying to hide what before I found it?
Oh, probably like 18 half-drank water bottles. Easily.
I mean, clean it out. I mean.
I want to get back into this subject of Ronald McDonald and whether or not you guys noticed that he's kind of being erased. He's sort of being evicted. Again, it's from Long Reads. He's a man, but not a man, a mascot, but a cipher, a friend and a shill. He's Ronald McDonald, one of the most recognizable faces in the world, and he's out of work in a brand landscape that doesn't have room for clowns. Had you even noticed that that had happened?
No. No, imagine giving him a ride somewhere, though.
Ponte los patines. Time for some ads.
That's the thing. As I was going through my head trying to figure out who's the one for me, like, it'd have to be someone like Pat Sajak, right? Like, a fame that reaches across the way that Ronald McDonald does.
I mean, Barkley? I know Barkley's been in your car. You've driven around with Charles Barkley.
Who's more famous, Pat Sajak or Charles Barkley?
That is a great question. I feel like it's Pat Sajak, I would say, probably.
I remember two weirder things in my car upon reflection. One is the inflatable bald eagle costume is in my car. And the other was my car got broken into one year on my birthday. It was a horrible birthday. And they stole my radio. And I'm filling out the police report. And like, is anything else missing? And I'm going through all my stuff. And I'm like, they stole my slip and slide, and the cop did not think that was amusing at all. He was very upset.
Casper, people, was there actually a slip and slide in your car? It's something that I can imagine. There was actually a slip and slide.
100%, and it was stolen, and I think that they didn't even want the slip and slide. They stole one of those, like, apple crates or whatever it's called that it was in, and I think that's what they wanted, but I mean, where do you get a slip and slide? I had it in there and for a rainy day, and then sure enough, gone.
you literally had it in there for a rainy day.
But the disappointment when you steal a crate thinking there might be some valuables in there, when you open it up, it's a slip and slide.
You're thinking to yourself, what kind of weirdo keeps a slip and slide in their car?
I was more upset about that than the radio.
Stugatz here. Support for the Dan Le Batard Show with Stugatz podcast comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Home today is so much more than it was yesterday, but at Rocket Mortgage, home is still all about you. During these challenging times, the top priority at Rocket Mortgage is the health and safety of the communities they serve. If you need mortgage assistance, their team is available 24/7 to answer questions and offer solutions. Whether that means saving money on your mortgage or finding a new way to navigate payments from their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. Visit rocketmortgage.com/Lebatard to learn more. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org number is 3030.
Did you know Geico's now offering an extra 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies? That's 15% on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Your teenager to help around the house?
Okay, Mom, I emptied the dishwasher, vacuumed the basement, and folded the sheets out of the dryer.
Wait, what?
Oh, and next, I'm going to clean Mitten's litter box.
Are we in some kind of prank show or something? That's a camera, isn't it?
There's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Limitations apply. Visit geico.com for details.
Here's your SportsCenter update. Jets safety Jamal Adams has informed the team he wants to be traded. Adams would welcome a trade to one of seven teams.
It's your best player.
He's under contract. The Ravens, Cowboys, Texans, Chiefs, Eagles, 49ers, and Seahawks. I hate them. I mean, sign the guy already, jeez. Free agent wide receiver, a tradition unlike any other. Josh Gordon has applied for reinstatement to the NFL. And finally, Christian Nielsen and Eric Tabak? I'm asking. They filmed a horror movie over Zoom and released it in a movie theater that they rented out. They bought a ticket for each seat in the theater. The money went back in their pockets thanks to a film distribution loophole. The movie also made their movie the number one box office movie in America, according to Box Office Mojo. And that is tremendous. I said the movie. I know I meant the move. I'm sorry about that, Mike.
I mean, that's brilliant. History can't take away that this movie shot on Zoom was once the number one movie in America.
It's great. It's awesome. Barbasol Shaving Cream is available in five fantastic flavors to customize your close shave. Whether it's the classic original or sensitive skin, there's one for every face. Find your favorite Barbasol today. For all the latest headlines and information, tune in to SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
So one of the things that may have escaped your attention last hour is that we were in agreement, Mike Stugatz and I, that Juneteenth is not political. We agreed on that, that for us, not political. But it probably is worth noting that in celebrating the end of slavery, there was a political war actually waged. So there was politics soaked in race, as many of you can argue has been throughout time. I just feel like black people look at both parties and say, which one's going to do less evil to me? Like they don't, I don't think of these conversations as being political, even though you can't get away from the political stuff. But Dominique Foxworth is with us now. And so when I tell you, Dominique, and thank you for joining us, that not a half hour ago, on this show, Freddie Coleman was wishing everybody, explaining to them what Juneteenth was and wishing everybody a happy Juneteenth. Dominique Foxworth hears that and thinks what?
Mission accomplished. This is what we've been fighting for all this time, is to get Freddie Coleman to explain to white people what Juneteenth is and to celebrate. So everyone go back in your homes. No more protesting. No more unrest. You can have Aunt Jemima back. You can have Uncle Ben back. Because now, all is right in the world because we can hang our mission accomplished banner. Because now Freddie Coleman taught y'all with Juneteenth.
All right. So it's over. Racism is won in 2020.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Wonderful. Mike, do you have a sound to commemorate that so that we can all celebrate together that racism is now over as proclaimed by Dominique Foxworth? Yeah. Very exciting. The last 17 days or so, the last 3 weeks, as you've been on television, very strong, very eloquent, born for this moment to talk about this moment. Where have you found that you're pushing the boundaries? Where have you found that you are testing the limits of what can be said about this? Because this is a good time to have that platform.
Yeah, well, first of all, I want to commend you for going with eloquent instead of articulate. Because you go articulate, I'm offended.
I've learned over the years. That's what I've learned. Now that we've solved racism, I was way ahead of the curve on that. I used to say articulate, then was corrected, and went eloquent.
Yeah. It's also in the tone of voice, too. You have a nice plain tone of voice that does not imply surprise, because that's also, it's not the word articulate as much as it's like, oh, he's articulate, like you're surprised, like you're shocked.
Stating it as fact, right?
how eloquent is that young brown fella? Like, it, you said it in the right way, the proper tone of voice, and use the proper word. I'm so proud of you, Dan. You're so advanced and woke. But anyway, I mean, I don't know. I haven't really thought much about boundaries that we had here. As you pointed out several times, I've not really cared too much about the boundaries, but I mean, it's in my mind, but I have felt last few weeks like boundaries around race, have been lifted. And I don't know, I didn't think about it the first day I went on. It's just, we were all so fired up and angry, and you gave me a microphone and asked me a question that was not you necessarily, but, by you, I mean the network, I guess, about race and about something that I was passionate about at a moment that I was very like charged up about it. And I gave my honest opinion, and the only people who were mad about it was like, I don't know, like Twitter trolls. And I'm like, oh, cause I was actually like not worried, but kind of concerned after the first couple of days, like, man, I'm about to lose my job over this stuff, because we saw what has happened to people in the past and the response has been different. I'm sure, a year from now, when this is all cooled down, I was going to remember all the crazy things I said, and my job may be in jeopardy at that point. But whatever, up until that point, I'm going to keep doing and saying the things that I want to do and say. And it's been interesting. I'm walking around my neighborhood right now in June Kingston. There's no white people out. I don't know if what's going on, if they're like nervous, but I was expecting to see some, and I didn't know how the interaction was going to go, but there's nobody out, and it's odd.
How much has it changed here over the last two or three weeks where white people are less scared of you, who have always worked with you in terms of offending? The first couple of days were sort of magical. Has that dissipated at all? Do you sense more white comfort?
No, you can throw a key word out there or something, or say any, you say the word systemic and they get all clenched and upset and worried and uncomfortable again. So it's still there. It just requires a little bit of like prodding. Whereas the past, it was just a general kind of aura of discomfort. Now it's like things are normal. Then I say systemic and then clench all up and then they're all apologetic again. And it's pretty nice and fun.
What are we to do with this story today that Alfred Williams, the former Colorado defensive player, that he is saying that Mike Gundy as a quarterback when he was playing used the N-word and that he's got 20 people to vouch for it and he's not trying to get him fired. He's just asking for an apology. What do you make of these statues going down with the Washington racial slurs and the Minnesota Twins now? The things that are happening in terms of shifting, those are two different questions. What should happen to Mike Gundy, and what do you make in general of just what's moving and shifting?
Yeah, I mean, I frankly don't care much about Mike Gundy. I think you guys had Bo on yesterday, or it might have been the day before, and he spoke very articulately, I can say it, don't worry, about how we're kind of looking at the wrong thing with Mike Gundy and not speaking to how he talks to his players, how he treats his players. I think that's more of a concern. Like, I'm not looking to get somebody fired over using the N-word when he was a college football player, I mean, decades ago. Like, that doesn't seem to be and I don't care much to, like, yell or argue about how stupid he is or how racist people who use that term are. Like, I'd rather people talk about the way that he's treating his players now. And maybe this colors how he treats his players or colors how we understand how he treats his players, then that matters. Like, if you want to fire him for that. Don't fire him for once using the N-word when he was young, because I imagine there's a lot of people who would lose their jobs if that was a disqualifying thing, and maybe all those people should lose their jobs. But the point is, that's not what matters. Like, that's not impacting people's lives in the way that the things he's doing now are. And as for the statues and those things going down, like, I think that's all symbolic stuff, and it's good. It's important because the symbolism matters, and it reminds us of things, and it kind of speaks to what our country stands for. And I mean, I've always been against the Washington football team's name, and that's another thing that should change. But I think this is the same as the racism play action, where you get hung up on these other things, and it could feel like success because these statues and stuff are coming down, but the structures that exist within our system are still there. And I don't think things are going to change. It'll just be less reminders of what's going on with statues and names of things and syrup bottles. Like, that just, to me, feels like it's not going to change much over the long run. Not that it's unimportant, but it's kind of like people tweeting out or companies tweeting out how much they support Black Lives Matter. Like, I like to hear it. I like to see it, but I'd rather see something more systemic.
Well, how about Roger Goodell when he, I mean, a complete about-face on his stance with Colin Kaepernick and, you know, having Colin in the league and endorsing Colin to be a quarterback in the NFL and telling teams to sign him. Are you having a hard time taking that seriously?
I mean, Roger, in the NFL in general, like, I expect more from them than most because they were actively on the other side. Like, many of these people and companies can at least say, like, we were not actively pushing against the cause. Like, the NFL was actively pushing against Colin Kaepernick's right to kneel and bringing attention to this cause. So, like, I do think that a statement is nice. And I'm not someone who, like, I try not to, like, lionize any figure. So, like, Colin did several great things, but, like, it feels like it's not the end of anything if Colin gets a job. And that's another one of those things where it would be symbolically important, but I don't think that speaks to the change that's needed in the country necessarily. So, I mean, I support him getting a job. If he wants to play, he certainly should play. But, again, it's not like a pat on the back because you stopped disenfranchising one individual after you disenfranchised him for 4 years. Like, to me, it seems somewhat irrelevant, but I'm sure we're going to celebrate it like it's a big deal if it does happen, because it will be a big deal.
Well, we don't have very much time left, but did you find it as interesting as I did that the president of the United States, that the NFL was fearing his Twitter tirades, that he avoided the word kneeling altogether the other day and encouraged the signing of Colin Kaepernick? That seemed like an about-face as well.
I mean, I can't keep up with him. Like, who knows what he's saying or what he's doing or what he's talking about and what it means, what he's trying to communicate and to whom. Like, it just is too all over the place, but it all seems to be erratic and aimed at drumming up a certain amount of hate in order to get a group of people to put him back for another 4 years. So, like, I don't know. I did think that we can all rest assured that our jobs as football analysts are safe, because his analysis of Colin Kaepernick being not up to snuff just doesn't jive with the numbers or the games that we're watching. I don't know how much football he watches, but I wouldn't hire him as my GM, that's for sure.
We got to go to commercial. Go ahead and play that. But Stugatz has one last question for you. We'll get to the sponsor in just a second.
I ain't got time to bleed.
All right, yes or no question here, Dominique. Peeing in the shower.
Oh, yeah, yes. I heard the debates yesterday, and I understand, like, everyone's afraid to go up against Bomani, and he probably won all the debates, but that doesn't mean that he was right. Like, yeah, what's the point of holding on to it or peeing before? You're just getting in, goes down the drain. I'm disgusting, just like the rest of you.
Thank you, Dominic. We appreciate your time.
Anna Rossini going to join us at a half hour, noon Eastern, on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Here's your SportsCenter update. Jet safety Jamal Adams has informed the team he wants to be traded. Adams would welcome a trade to one of seven teams making demands. The Ravens, Cowboys, Texans, Chiefs, Eagles, 49ers, and Seahawks. Free agent wide receiver Josh Gordon applied for reinstatement to the NFL. And finally, an alcoholic killer monkey has left one man dead and 250 injured after going on a rampage when his booze supply dried up in India. The simian targeted women and girls in particular, with dozens of children left needing plastic surgery after he ripped open their faces with his fangs. The animal has since been caught and will now be kept in captivity for the rest of its life.
Jesus, that took a dark turn there. It was a fun story about a drunk monkey, and then next thing you know, fangs and faces.
It was a fun story for about 1 second. I said an alcoholic killer monkey.
Yes, well, an alcoholic killer monkey is a good way to start a sentence. Put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Lebatard Show. Is an alcoholic killer monkey a good way to start a sentence?
For all the latest headlines and information, tune in the SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
All right, so Billy is wondering something here, and I don't have off the top of my head a way to rebut the question he's asking as he leads me someplace when he asks, has Johnny Depp ever played a normal person? He was asking this question, and I started thinking about it. I don't have the Johnny Depp IMDb off the top of my head, but it makes a...
Can he be a normal person in an extraordinary circumstance?
Well, I don't know. These are Billy's rules. So, Billy, help me get this thing off the ground. I can't hear him. Can you guys hear him?
That happens sometimes with Zoom. Power down, power back up.
All right. We'll come back to Billy in a second. Oh, a reminder of the old days, those excruciating pandemic days where I couldn't trust a single microphone, and you, Wolverines and Jackals, buried me every day because your show wasn't exactly the same, because it was me 80% of the time strangling it because I didn't trust anyone's microphone.
You want to try him again? Maybe that'll work.
Billy, help me get this off the ground.
Okay.
So what is your expertise here, Mike?
Muted there.
Power down and power up is your solution?
I don't know. Someone else chime in.
Billy, feel free to slap the side of your computer.
It should be working. Everything's the same.
All right. Well, answer the question then. Help me with the content.
Nick of Time.
If you can't get the technology.
The Nick of Time, where he's like just a normal businessman who is a parent, and then Christopher Walken shows up and has like all sorts of challenges for him.
Right.
And he must get them done in the nick of time.
Thank you, Mike. Roy, what do you have here?
I was playing a soldier count because he was a soldier in platoon.
A soldier in platoon. I don't remember him. Put that on the poll at Levitard.
That was a
show.
Hell of a cast in platoon.
It really was.
But did he have an ancillary role there? Was he?
I don't even remember him.
I don't remember.
Was it Sheen?
I don't remember him.
How would Roy remember that?
Well, he's got all sorts of weird information in his head that's generally useless.
We joke around and call him old-ass Roy, but he's got a knowledge well beyond his years. There's no reason he should know that. He's just, like, amazing at trivia.
I mean, Depp is normal 21 Jump Street, right?
Well, are you kidding me?
What do you mean?
No, you can't be an adult going undercover back in high school?
Well, I mean, I figured it was that or Edward Scissorhands. I mean,
how about Donnie Brasco? Wasn't he a relatively normal guy
undercover
who stood?
I think we already established going undercover is not normal.
All right. Well, you're just saying extraordinary circumstances.
Well, though. I was asking, and then went to Billy, and he's setting the rules, and I can't hear. Billy, are you there?
But he's a pirate. He's a pirate of the Caribbean. Like, that's what did he play Hook or Peter Pan or something as well?
No, that was Finding Neverland. He played the author of the Peter Pan book.
Billy, does your microphone now work so that we could get back to whatever it is that you've wanted to say here?
Test. Hello?
We got
hello?
You.
Test. 5, 4, 3, 2. Can you hear me? Hello?
Yes. We can hear you.
Well, Dan, I was watching this movie called Mordecai on the Hulu over the weekend. And he was an eccentric, like he seems to always be in all of these movies. Like he was, you know, Edward Scissorhands. He was Willy Wonka. He was the tourist, but even the tourist, he had like this weird accent and he was really this undercover guy. Do you remember The Tourist, Dan? Angelina Jolie?
I remember that one, but it's one of the few movies that you guys, Nick of Time, I don't remember. I don't know what the hell Mike Ryan's talking about.
Well, in The Tourist, Dan, he was like this, you know, mastermind criminal. And you're like, oh, he's just this normal tourist. No, he was this criminal that had all this work done to his face and he looked totally different. He's never normal. What do you think he's like on his off days? Because he seems to always be something else.
Well, on his off days, he's certifiably crazy. He's got a Nick Cage streak and he may, based on whatever reported details you're reading, have a drinking problem.
But doesn't he also have like this accent and he makes you think like he's this worldly person that's from Broward County?
He grew up five blocks from me. Like, he is not a worldly person.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, he did. He and his brother grew up five blocks from me.
I have tracked down the description of Nick of Time. It was an action crime drama released in 1995. I bleep you not, this is the description. An unimpressive everyday man is forced into a situation where he is told to kill a politician to save his kidnapped daughter. Unimpressive everyday man.
I lived on Granada Boulevard. He lived on Fairway. His brother played my eighth grade prom. He was one of the cool kids.
Hollywood made up its mind about Johnny Depp, huh?
He's locked
into a franchise, a Fantastic Beasts franchise, but it's not really happening for him. Sort of Hollywood decided on him and James Franco, where they had those things. It wasn't like full Weinstein stuff, but he had an obviously very ugly divorce where abuse was alleged, and it's just Hollywood's decided, hey, we're not really going to put you in mainstream movies anymore, James Franco or Johnny Depp.
But he's got that cologne endorsement.
Oh, yeah.
You mentioned Hollywood. Have you guys read a reported detail about the nether regions of Harvey Weinstein?
Yeah, that it's Evan Fournier.
Deeply, deeply uncomfortable.
Yeah, don't Google.
Deeply uncomfortable. Hold on a second. Mike's got a giant smile on his
face.
Well,
no, I don't. Damn. I can't do anything around you. No, it's because.
No, because.
Don't
hold
Google
on a second.
A
don't Google it, okay? But just.
That's why Evan Fournier's nickname is Don't Google.
I want to just say to you, did you know that gangrene was still a thing? That's what I want to ask you, the audience, at Levitard Show, because I think of it like bubonic plague. I think of it like treating people with leeches. I do not think of gangrene as a modern day thing, but I certainly don't think of it as a modern day thing there.
I think of the Jets.
All I want to do is a zoom, 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 and a boom, boom.
Don't Google that either, because that's an even more diseased thing than what we're talking about. Stugatz's Jets should have Harvey Weinstein's gangrene region on their helmets. Just instead
of, the logo.
Instead of whatever the Jets logo is, just Photoshop.
It just says Jets.
The gangrene nether regions of Harvey Weinstein on the side of Sam Darnold's helmet.
Johnny Depp's divorce got really, really ugly. Yeah, all sorts of allegations. Awful. I saw Elon Musk actually had to like testify because he was pressed on how soon, because he started dating the ex-wife of Johnny Depp, and he was asked questions about having like a three-way love affair with all sorts of celebrities, and it's just like, how's Elon Musk really? I guess it's the reputation. Tony Stark, but like without the accomplishments.
He got a rocket off here recently.
Stugatz here. Support for the Dan Le Batard Show with Stugatz podcast comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Home today is so much more than it was yesterday, but at Rocket Mortgage, home is still all about you. During these challenging times, the top priority at Rocket Mortgage is the health and safety of the communities they serve. If you need mortgage assistance, their team is available 24/7 to answer questions and offer solutions. Whether that means saving money on your mortgage or finding a new way to navigate payments from their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. Visit rocketmortgage.com/Lebatard to learn more. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org number is 3030.
What are you laughing about?
Just us. And by us, I mean me. I mean,
do you want to tell the story of just what happened, or do we have to talk around things too much to tell people what happened?
I mean, you'd be better off probably to. I don't know what just happened.
Well, I don't want to reveal
I'm
any secret
everywhere.
I don't want to reveal any secret family stuff you have going on. But what just happened is funny, and it ended with the sentence of me saying, "Hey, Stugatz, tighten it up. I asked you about the well-being of someone in your family, and you gave me four different work-related subjects that you wanted to opine about."
You did. You were really concerned about my mom, and my mom is fine. She's getting minor surgery today, okay? And you really wanted answers about mom and my mom's well-being, and I didn't answer it.
You, four times.
I gave you stuff on Rossini.
Four times. He gave me so many opinions, so many sports things, so many things he thinks gonna happen, and he gave me not an answer to my question. We will get to Diana Rossini in a second.
And I owe you an answer, my mom. 15 minutes, okay? You'll get it off air. Okay? The tease.
I don't think I've ever looked at Stugatz, though, and just spit, tighten it up, Stugatz.
Diana Rossini going to join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. I'm sorry. Here's your SportsCenter update. Mavericks owner Mark Cuban said that if his players take a knee during the national anthem, he hopes to join them. You don't have to hope. I mean, just do it. Yeah. I mean, Angels first baseman.
It's true. What he's saying is true. Just go ahead and do it. You don't have to hope. You're totally in control of that.
Angels first baseman Albert Pujols is covering $180,000 in salary loss by staff members of the team in the Dominican who were furloughed because of the coronavirus pandemic. Good job by Albert. What happened?
I mean, this is news. 13 minutes ago, President Trump tweeted, Tony Fauci has nothing to do with NFL football. They are planning a very safe and controlled opening. However, if they don't stand for our national anthem and our great American flag, I won't be watching. That's
right,
the latest on that front.
Fauci just said that you can't responsibly have a football season in 2020 without a bubble, that you need a bubble. And I think this might be news to the NFL.
But here's the problem with the bubble. You can't play doubles ping pong in the bubble, you can play football.
The contact sport thing is a real problem. We'll get into it in a second with Diana Rossini.
And finally, the Guinness World Record for longest kiss is 58 hours, 35 minutes, and 58 seconds. What? If you're like me, you love a good stat, but there's one stat you probably don't know, your vehicle's battery charge. That's why Advance Auto Parts has free vehicle battery testing and installation with no appointment necessary. Advance your auto at Advance Auto Parts and participating CarQuest locations. See stores for details. For all the latest headlines and information, tune in to SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
One of the things that Stugatz rat-a-tat-tatted at me while I was asking him about his mother's health with concern was that Diana Russini has just gotten engaged. I did not know that. So congratulations, Diana. I'm sorry that I'm just learning this way. Did you indeed marry a meathead Russillo type? Or I think that what happened there? I didn't know you were close to getting
married yet.
I didn't think though that you were close to getting engaged because you were always lamenting on here that your mother is pushing you to hurry up and have kids.
Yeah, I didn't think it was really going to work with this one, so I never really shared it because you know why take that step to talk about a relationship if you don't really see it going anywhere. So all this has been a little bit of a shock to all of us because I've agreed to it. So we're not married yet, but he did propose. I said yes. And, you know, it's funny. It was on social media because I actually shared it. I didn't have anyone in my life leak it out or anything. Like I know some people on the show how to deal with in their lives. But for me, I put it out, try to be cute with it. And, you know, Stugatz is really good about keeping an eye on my Twitter. He loves the news. He loves NFL stuff. And, you know, I was waiting for him to reach out to just, you know, congratulate me. I like to think he cares about me. Mm-hmm. And just like nothing, just nothing. Like he's like liking other of my tweets, but not responding
to that. He's liking the stuff.
There's a great jet tweet in there somewhere.
You're putting something out on the NFC and he's liking that, but he's not commenting at all on your. Well, first of all, you didn't seem to be sharing a whole lot of enthusiasm about the engagement.
Exactly.
Like, what happened? Please explain to me what happened here where you go from, I don't think it's going to be working out, to sure, I'll marry you.
Well, he's from Philly, and I just always struggled with the way he talks, like just the start, like the superficialness of that. So we'll just start there. And I just had it didn't mix with people in my life, in my family that I care about, who all have very thick Bronx, North New Jersey accents. And even now when he says words, I'm like, nobody knows what you're saying. You need to like bring a translator, but eventually we worked through it. But, I don't know. He likes me. So I felt like that was a good start.
Diana Russini with us on ESPN Radio. Want to get to some of your thoughts here on what we were talking about Fauci saying you can't have football without a bubble. I got to imagine football people, organizers, God, they are so regimented. They must be made crazy right now, Diana, by the idea that football is less than 50 days away and they don't know what the hell they're going to do with this.
So one of the worst positions to be in is when you have to report on the status of what's happening on something that's as fluid as this. And I have envy of all the other sports right now because I feel like they have plans. They're getting answers. So I've had an opportunity to talk to a lot of different GMs and coaches. I've been able to listen in on some conference calls about conversations that are being had between the union, between the league. Everyone is trying to come up with a plan, and the problem is nobody has answers. So what that winds up doing is you have a bunch of coaches who, you know, obviously are very good at taking order and they want to be leaders, but they have nothing to go off. So the frustration is probably at the highest it's been during this entire 3-4 months here because there's just nothing being answered. I was told from the league, though, that bubble idea that the NBA is doing, just throw that out, that they are not doing a bubble. So we can take that off the list of ideas. The NFL is operating as if they are just going on scheduled or as scheduled as if COVID doesn't exist. They want to test a lot. They want to educate a lot. But it just doesn't seem that they're going to be making major adjustments as of now.
How is that possible, Diana? What you're saying sounds irresponsible, dumb, and lacking all manner of leadership.
Especially when they're the sport that has a line of scrimmage and offensive linemen and defensive linemen like super close to each other and huddles. Like this is the sport that's probably most problematic during a pandemic.
That's the hardest part about this. Sean McVay said yesterday on a conference call about being part of Hard Knocks. That was the point of the call. And he just said basically, I think, what we're all thinking. So you want everyone to social distance, but then we're going to go out and tackle each other. We're going to go out and be in each other's faces. That makes no sense. On some of these calls, I've heard the idea of putting up shields around the helmet in that area where you would breathe, where your eyes are covered, and be covered with sort of like that, I almost want to say like that plexiglass that you see at stores now, you know, when you go up to the register. It's obviously not that, but, you know, something where they can sort of have some prevention. Testing is going to be really high, almost daily. And again, these are all discussions. These are just ideas. And it just seems, you know, I had one coach this morning when I was asking him about it. He said, they're asking us, like, we're a bunch of moron football dudes. Like, what do we know about viruses? You know, and he was just obviously, you know, kidding a little bit, but not really.
Diana,
you know?
I can't put on a mask and my glasses without my glasses fogging up. If you're going to put in football players' face masks the ability to breathe right into a shield, no one's going to be able to see anything.
Yeah, this same coach brought up another point. He was like, do you think my players aren't going to be in areas of high volume over the next 5 weeks? He goes, this time period anyway in the NFL is the biggest nightmare for organizations, right? Because we see so many situations where players put themselves in just spots that could get them in trouble. We've seen it a million times. So his point is, we're going to take all these precautions, but I don't think any of the players are going to be doing that. And the players, the last thing they want to do from talking to them is come back to training camp early, because that's another thing that's being discussed. Bring them in July 15th, sort of run them through how this would go, you know, kind of like a soft opening to training camp. And they're like, yeah, no, we are not doing that. They want to push this thing off as much as possible. So here we are, you know, June 19th. And I have no idea what we're doing in July.
Diana, you speak to a lot of coaches, a lot of players. Are there coaches and players voicing that they don't think there should be a season this year?
No. I've struggled with that because that's something, I think that's an interesting angle. So I've been asking around a lot. I feel like everyone is in the same space of like, let's just get back in this. There is concern, though, that family element, you know, and I'm sure you've seen, too, even former players and some of our current analysts pointed out all the time on our shows of just, you know, you have to be really careful with how this is in terms of overall health, because most players go home to their wives and kids and they don't want to have to expose their families, which is, you know, the one thing that I've recognized, though, in most workplaces now, those seem to be the safest places. I know even I can just speak to being back on Bristol's campus. That was the cleanest it's ever been, but also it just seems like everyone is just being so cautious that I think these NFL organizations, they're going to make sure it's a safe environment. And if a player tests positive, they're going to have to self-quarantine and be out.
I can't think of a whole lot of people whose opinion I want less on taking on health risks than football players. Like, you can't ask them whether or not they're going to play or whether they're going to go against health risks. Like, they're not – we shouldn't be asking that question. But Stugatz has an important question for you here, Diana.
Peeing in the shower, Diana, your thoughts?
Every morning.
Wow. Okay. Shocking.
Love you.
At Lebatard Show on Twitter, are you shocked that Diana Rossini pees in the shower every morning?
Geico knows there are many reasons why you ride. From the camaraderie of the other bikers, a band of brothers, always there for you, rain or shine, to the amazing savings you get with Geico on your motorcycle insurance and accessories coverage all year round. But for Bucky Hornhill, it was one reason in particular.
It was my helmet hair. I was born with helmet hair. I've tried to cut it a bunch of times, even buzzing it, but it immediately just goes back to helmet hair.
Geico Motorcycle. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Here's your SportsCenter update. Mavericks owner Mark Cuban said that if his players take a knee during the national anthem, he hopes to join them. It is the oddest story I've ever read in all my years reading sports centers. You either join them or you don't. You don't hope to join them. They take a knee, you take a knee. They don't take a knee, you can still take a knee. How about that? Angels first baseman Albert Pujols is covering $180,000 in salary lost by staff members of the team in the Dominican who were furloughed because of the coronavirus pandemic. I just backed away from the microphone and my computer screen. And finally, Verschlim Besberg, Verschlimberger, is a German word that describes an effort to make things better, which actually ends up making things worse.
Like we just did with Al Duncan?
Verschlim Besberg. For all the latest headlines and information, tune in the Sports Center on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
I thought to myself, what do we need on Juneteenth? The perfect German word that tries to make things better, but then makes them worse. Now, Mark Spears of The Undefeated is on with us now. And I don't know Mark well enough to ask this question, but if I'd come to you 5 months ago and said ESPN was doing happy Juneteenth commercials 5 months ago and asked you, hey, what needs to happen in the world for there to be happy Juneteenth commercials on ESPN, like just stuffed into the content. And, you know, we'll get the details right later, whether it's L. Duncan or just a man.
Jay Harris.
We don't know who that was telling us just what would have had to happen in the world for you to take my question seriously.
I mean, it's deeper than our company. I mean, like you guys mentioned Cuban telling people to take a knee when it wasn't that long ago where Cuban said if somebody black was with a hoodie was walking across the street, he'd walk to the other side, you know, or that he told McDonald's All-Americans that they should go to, which are predominantly black, to go to Slovenia to get better tutoring than their AAU counterparts, which are predominantly black coaches, or telling a player who was black that he didn't agree with that, you know, don't forget who pays you. So it's Cuban, it's the companies, we could go on and on. I keep waiting for somebody to jump out of the screen and say, I gotcha, this is all a joke. Like, we don't care, you know, but as my sister said, Mark, better late than never. Sister Courtney told me that. I mean, like, because this is, Rodney King was my era, my parents were civil rights era, we could go back. So I've just kind of been intrigued by what is it about the horrendous George Floyd murder that sparked everybody. And I wonder that, you know, everybody white who is down for the cause that, or people of color who suddenly are down for the cause, because everybody of color hasn't rooted for black people either. If they were to sit down and answer that question, I wonder what it would be, because this has been happening forever. So why is this different? Maybe it's social media. I don't know. But as my sister said, hey, better late than never.
Well, help me understand this, because it appears that we're about 130 years late on Aunt Jemima. Like, we just slapped our forehead a couple of days ago. We're like, wait a minute, that's totally racist. The idea of a mammy, of a subservient woman on a bottle of syrup. Yeah. Like, among the absurd ones where you've seen an about face and you're like, what the hell is going on in this country right now? Which is the one that you look at and are like, well, yeah, better late than never, but good God, this is absurd.
NFL putting out statements, which I still don't believe. But look, to me, as I told somebody, these statements are receipts. So I'm loving all these statements. Do I believe them? I mean, it sounds good. You have a business. You know, you want to keep your business intact. And this is the most politically correct society now than we've ever had. I mean, there's TV shows that we grew up on and love that you could never air now. I can only think about all the stuff I heard on Sanford and Son and All in the Family as a kid and some of the stuff they said, or even the movie Police Academy in the 80s, you know. But it's a surreal world where the good thing is now we're having conversations and people
aren't blind anymore, and all this stuff like racism ain't bad that I've been hearing my whole life, like for these naive people, which I don't know what they needed to see. I don't know why seeing some, it took, I mean, Rodney King got beat pretty bad and everybody saw that. Like, why? That's the thing that like pains me is like people calling me and saying, hey man, we're sorry and blah, blah, blah. But this is my daily life. Like, I'm still scared to drive around the street. I got my master's from LSU. One reason why I got the placard on the back of my car is because there's a sense in a lot of black people that if you put the college that you graduated from on the back of your car, you may be less likely to get pulled over.
So
I'm not celebrating LSU because I'm go Tigers. It's because I'm hoping I don't get pulled over.
Mark Spears of the Undefeated with us on ESPN Radio. Do you believe, I can understand why you would be distrustful, but do you believe that conversation starting, and it's long, long overdue, that now we're ready for the conversation, but does it endure beyond games coming back? Like, are we going to celebrate Juneteenth next year too?
I hope it becomes a national holiday, and it deserves to be a national holiday. And let's go even to other people of color, like, a day that is significant to Hispanics, a day that's significant to my Asian brothers and sisters. There's certain day they got their Juneteenth type day too that I think the United States needs to examine things so we could learn about every culture. Like, I was blessed to grow up in San Jose, where I grew up with Filipinos, Mexicans, Chinese, Vietnamese. My best friend was black and Filipino, a lot of mixed kids. I thought that was what the world was. That's a lie, you know, but that was such a blessing because I got to learn about every culture. You know, I love Mexican food. I love lumpia. I love, you know, all these different things and all these different people. So I think even as black folks, we need to fight for, you know, our brothers and sisters' stories to be heard, like that Bruce Lee documentary too, like watching that and seeing what Chinese people dealt with. Like, this is a long history that's been horrendous for black folks, been horrendous for people of different colors, American Indian. Like, let's tell their story. What about that holiday in Utah that they celebrate, where I basically call it They Killed the Indians Day? But, man, I'm just rambling on, man. I feel good. It's Juneteenth, baby. Let's all celebrate. You know, I'm glad it's going to become a national holiday soon. Better late than never is fine. But ask a black man. Ask a black woman. If you're confused, or I have a lot of my white friends, I said, there ain't no stupid questions. Just ask us, because we have to have a conversation and stop holding these things in.
Okay. Thank you, Mark. No stupid questions. But do you pee in the shower?
Good question.
Oh.
No?
Do I what?
Okay,
pee
very
in the
good.
Shower.
No, very good. Very
yes, we
good.
Found one.
But if I had any questions, I don't know what that has to do with being black. But
no, it doesn't have anything to do, but we've got a big
no
debate around here.
Right.
Bomani's mad at everybody because our...
Do you pee in the shower?
All right, we got to get out of here. Right. Thank you, Mark,
forget
for being on with us.
Terrible question. There are bad questions.
They are bad questions. We appreciate
you. Know, hey, seriously, there's no bad question to ask us, even that one, and I don't.
All right. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Clean nose, healthy life. Make good nasal hygiene your new normal. Go to Navage.com. That's NAVAGE.com. You'll love that clean nose feeling. Sounds this week have been brought to you by My Computer Career, training for a better life.
So one of the things that we want to do around here is open up the club. We also want to get to the polls, but we've got our NIT tournament of looks like as well. This weekend, we've got two teams remaining, only two teams. So wow. You can vote this weekend. Here are the two remaining teams as we close out all our 100 look like for the year.
Mina Kimes looks like she exaggerates a loud cough as a smoker walks by her on the street.
A surprise yes. finalist against not a surprise finalist.
Mike Greenberg looks like the guy who holds his nose when jumping in the pool.
It made it. A powerhouse.
There it is. Yes. So have at it. That was 50-50 with something. What was it? It was, Adam Silver looks like a
Oscar statue before the bronzing. Something was 50-50 there. I don't know how Greenberg actually won, but go ahead and open up the club, Mike, and Stugatz will update some of the better polls in here somewhere.
The Twitter poll at Levitard Show is brought to you by Sherwin-Williams. Ask Sherwin-Williams and save 30% on paints and stains now through June 30th. Shop in-store or order online for curbside pickup. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See stores for details.
At Levitard Show on Twitter is how you vote on all of this stuff. Let's close it out, as we always do every week, with an assortment of show sounds.
I was really worried about Jeff.
That is Jeff Passan trying to be killed by ESPN. Elmo is worried about it.
I am, at this point, looking like the Crypt Keeper from Tales from the Crypt.
Did you know gangrene was still a thing? 54% of the audience said yes.
I have bags under my eyes. I have this very sunken face. I'm getting jaundiced.
Should the gangrene nether region of Harvey Weinstein be on the side of the Jets helmet?
So good.
I'm introducing a little waste, and it's immediately being flushed down the drain with all the other cares in the world and problems I have.
75% of the audience said yes.
Are you saying that sometimes it doesn't feel good to be bad?
Are you shocked that Diana Rossini pees in the shower every morning?
Kalamazoo, Michigan, Jeremy Schaap, ESPN.
62% of the audience said no.
I am indignant.
Those are the polls.
That is Jeremy Schaap, indignant. Really, peeing in the shower carried us this week.
Kalamazoo, Michigan, Jeremy Schaap. ESPN.
Do you think he does? Do you think Jeremy Schaap does?
Yes.
I'm going to FaceTime it.
Are you?
ESPN.
You're guessing Jeremy Schaap is a peer in the shower.
Well, Charlie, as far as I know, so just Charlie's title in my
phone. Are you going to say anything?
Yeah, I'm guessing that Schaap pees in the shower. Yep, that's an easy guess.
Who else in the club?
Due to an alt-right. Oh, jeez, that happened. Due to an alt-right. It's alt-right.
Hold on a second. Schaap, do you pee in the shower? The question is, does Jeremy Schaap pee in the shower? Who the hell would pee in the shower, says
what?
Jeremy Schaap. Who the hell would pee in the shower?
Jeremy Schaap, ESPN.
Millions of years of evolution, says Jeremy Schaap. You shouldn't pee in a shower. Thank you, Jeremy.
The two parts of the word helicopter are not heli and copter, but helico, meaning spiral, and sir. Schaap should have signed off your phone call. Sir.
What happened there?
Sir.
Sir.